Hi, everybody. So let me just grab that. Okay, so we're going to talk about managing third-party software today with System Center Config Man. My name is Megan McKeown. I'm the director of North America at Secunia, and this is our second time at SCU. We're really excited to be here again, hoping to be here again next year, so great event. Let's talk really quickly about the agenda. So what we're going to do is actually look at a holistic view of patch management. I'm going to start off with the business of hacking, because yes, it is a business, it is a profession. It is no longer the nerd sitting in his mom's basement gaming and then sometimes trying to hack. There are professional organizations out there. We're going to look back at 2014. What happened in 2014 in terms of some of the big hacks that we saw, the big vulnerabilities that we saw, and then finally, how you can protect your company in 2015, talking about the basics and managing third-party software safely. So, the business of hacking. There was a really great article in Time Magazine earlier this year. I don't know if some of you had seen it, but one of the quotes I'm going to talk about a little bit later, one of the quotes that I thought was really interesting was that according to IBM's security division, the average American company fielded a total of 16,856 attacks. That was in a one-year period. How is this possible? How is it that companies are fielding this many attacks and cyber attacks in a year? Well, it's because people are doing this as an organization, as a profession, right? So they're looking out for the masses, and they're trying to get in as many organizations as they can. So not to scare you at the end of the day, but just to make sure that we're all awake, because it's 4 o'clock, we've been here for all day. So let's talk about some of the tools that they're using. Malware as a service, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this, but essentially what they're doing now, organizations, is hosting everything for hackers. So they sell you an interface, a GUI that's pretty easy to use, and you as an amateur hacker can go out and hack thousands and thousands of machines with that. So when we did our research, there's quite a few out there, as you can imagine. What I thought was really interesting on one of them is the service level agreements that I saw. So for $249, you can get a replacement warranty. So if this malware is detected by any antivirus within 9 months, you get your money back. Some pretty good service. On top of it, they have 24/7 online support. They have technical support after installing the software. So my point with this is only that they're doing this as a very professional, legitimate business. And this is something that now we have to be aware of as organizations. How do we protect ourselves against this? So, breaches in 2014. Probably you guys remember some of these stories. At the end of the year of 2013, there was a pretty large hack with Target. So you might not necessarily remember the White Lodging, Michaels, Neiman Marcus, but Michaels actually had a total of 2.6 million credit cards that were stolen in that breach. Then we had Sally Beauty Supply in March, P.F. Chang's in June, Jimmy John's in July, so it was pretty bad to eat at chain restaurants last summer. Then Apple got hacked in August. You guys probably remember that. There was, of course, passwords and usernames taken. Also, some celebrity photos were exposed. Possibly you heard about that. And then there was September, which was actually quite bad. Staples had 119 stores that got breached, which was 1.16 million credit cards. Home Depot had 56 million credit cards and debit cards stolen, which was 53 million email addresses stolen, which was pretty tremendous. So we looked into October. We had Dairy Queen and Kmart. And then, of course, Sony at the end of the year. Now, maybe some of you are looking at this and thinking, you know, Megan, no problem. I am not making movies about killing the leader of North Korea, so I am not going to be attacked. Unfortunately, what I'm showing you is only the ones that we know about for sure, right? So that's either because there was all these credit cards and information stolen and they had to release this, or the media forced this out of them, outed them, sort of. There is a ton of companies that are getting attacked and hacked every year, but we just don't know about them like we know about these. So here's two quotes that I wanted to share with you. I found these from PC World, but there's a lot of information out there. One of them is that small businesses assume hackers would need to pick their business out of 27 million others, not realizing that the attackers are automated and focused on discovering vulnerabilities. So, you know, what that means is that hackers are not usually really going after Sony or one of these big companies. What they're thinking about is, how can I get the masses? And the easiest way to do that is to look for vulnerabilities that exist out there and enter the system through there. You don't have to get 1.16 or 53 million credit cards every time. You get a little bit of information here, a little bit of information here, and a little bit here. This starts adding up. This is, you know, a living for some people. The other quote I found was that according to the National Cybersecurity Alliance, one in five small businesses fall victim to cybercrime each year. And of those, some 60% go out of business within 6 months after an attack. So the point here is simply that small businesses and medium-sized businesses are actually targets as well. Because what they're looking for is weaknesses in your system, vulnerabilities that they can take advantage of. And those are actually easier to penetrate in the small and medium-sized businesses. They have smaller budgets, less resources to work with. And at the end of the day, I mean, Target can get through that sort of attack, but maybe Joe's Garage can't. And that's kind of what we're seeing here with these numbers. So everyone needs to take IT security seriously. And that's what we're going to talk about, how all of us could do that in 2015. Before I get that, though, there's a few vulnerabilities that happened also in 2014. So as I mentioned, there was this article in Time Magazine. Actually, what that article was about was zero-day exploits. So I don't know if people watching and here know what a zero-day exploit is. But a zero-day exploit basically means that you found a vulnerability that the vendor does not know about. So they're not trying to fix it or patch it because they don't even know it exists. It's a very lucrative thing to know about, and if you have an exploit that takes advantage of that vulnerability, there is a market that you can sell it on. And this is a big thing for kind of what we've been seeing a lot over the years. But actually, the CEO of that company went on to say that criminals typically target older vulnerabilities for which fixes have already been released, and they just troll the net till they find somebody who hasn't updated their software yet. The people who are buying zero-day vulnerabilities are nations, you know, people trying to do serious espionage and so forth. The average attack is just happening through vulnerabilities that we already have patches for. So at Secunia, we are an IT security research house. That's what we started as. We still have our own research team. We've seen a trend over the years as 2 to 3 months after the patch is released from the vendor, that's when the most successful attacks are happening. So how can we kind of get in front of this? That's what we're talking about. Well, in 2014, there was quite a few scary things. I don't know if you guys had remembered this, but in April last year, there was a vulnerability called Heartbleed that was disclosed. And essentially, this weakness allowed the stealing of information that's usually protected by SSL and TLS. So this was scary because now you could steal information, but also this affected 66% of web servers worldwide. 66%. I mean, we had really never seen something like that before. And then Bash shell shock happened. So September, the Bash shell shock comes out, and basically we find that in Unix, Linux operating systems, and Mac OS. This allowed hackers to remotely execute command without authentication. This is way scarier, right? Because now they can not just take information, they can execute on it. And it affects over 500 million servers and devices worldwide. Humongous numbers. The last was also in September, Poodle, which actually stands for Padding Oracle on Downgraded Legacy Encryption. Say that five times fast. So what this does is it allows the forcer to make a computer go down to an older version of SSL, and then they can do a man-in-the-middle attack, and they can decrypt secure HTTP cookies. So they can steal information and take control of victims' machines online. So this was pretty scary stuff as well. What we're kind of talking about here is the fact that in 2014, we've learned that you need to have multiple layers to your IT security. There is no antivirus or malware that will protect you. You need to have multiple ways that you're protecting yourself. And one of those basic pillars is patch management. Because if you update software, you're eliminating vulnerabilities, right? So you're really taking care of the core of the issue. All right, how to protect your company in 2015. So now maybe you're running through your head thinking, okay, what applications do I have in my environment today? You know, if you're running all different desktops, laptops, servers, so forth, you're thinking about possibly the Microsoft and third-party applications. We at Sukunya do this vulnerability research, as I mentioned, and we publish a report every year, our vulnerability report. So in our most recent 2014 report, we looked at, actually it's 7.8 million people who have downloaded our free tool. It's called our Personal Software Inspector. You can download it from our website. It automatically scans and updates your third-party software and anonymously collects that info. So we have these 7.8 million people who have downloaded it. We have this super unique data set. We looked at the 50 most popular installed programs on PCs, because this software is only for PCs, and we saw that in market share numbers, 34% are third-party programs, and 66% are Microsoft programs. So you could be thinking, perfect, I do Patch Tuesday, so my Microsoft products are up to date. Therefore, more than half of my vulnerabilities are being taken care of. I'm good, Megan. The challenge is that when you start to cross-reference this, those same programs against what vulnerabilities exist, the numbers start to look like this. So 34% of applications represent 76% of vulnerabilities. It's the third parties that people are going for, because hackers know that those are the programs that are much harder and much more difficult to get updated in all your applications. So it's really not enough to only update your Microsoft applications. You need to take a holistic view in your environment. On top of that, we've seen a 45% increase in vulnerabilities on a 5-year trend. And in our last report, in a 1-year period, there was 13,073 vulnerabilities discovered in 2,289 vulnerable products. So what that means is that if maybe you are doing Microsoft and also you have your a couple third-party applications, maybe you take care of Flash and Reader and Java, there's roughly 2,286 more products that you needed to make sure weren't in your environment. If they were, you needed to know what versions they were, and then you needed to update them. And that's for a 1-year period. I can't even give you that list now because it's not relevant anymore. You know, you need to have this on a constant update. In fact, this is just not possible to be doing manually anymore. You need to have some automation to this process. You need to have automation to both how you get the information, so what is vulnerable out there, and how do I know if it's in my environment? Because if you don't, the numbers are pretty much against us. So, software vulnerability lifecycle. When we talk about this, how can we kind of map out this whole process for organizations, we look at these three main steps. So you can see here that if you can assess, mitigate, and verify each of these, you'll be able to have complete the whole life cycle. So at the top here, that won't get us there. At the top, when we talk about assess, we're really just talking about a way for you to have all the new vulnerability intelligence. Also a way for you to understand what's in your environment. So talking about the assets, the programs that are in your environment, what versions actually exist on all your applications, especially considering if anybody has admin privileges. And then assess and prioritize. How do you prioritize that information? Once you have the vulnerability intelligence, once you know what assets in your environment, how do you then assess and prioritize that information? Then you need to mitigate, which basically means applying the remediation or a workaround, and finally verify, and then rinse and repeat. So the vulnerability intelligence is something that should be getting updated as often as possible. Mitigation, we often see organizations trying to do that on a monthly basis, and verification should be happening as often as possible as well. So, managing third-party software safely. So what we're talking about here is intelligent patch management, because if you have a policy of having patch management in your organization, or you're looking at how you're going to do this in 2015, you really need to make sure that you're taking into consideration the complete patch management idea. So that's not just the patch creation and the patch deployment, which is often what we talk about when we talk about patch creation. How can I make these easily? How can I check off this box and get this done? And how can I successfully get them out to my clients? Those are important items, no doubt about that. But if you don't know why we're making those patches, which ones we need to prioritize? Am I getting this update out because there's an aesthetic fix to one of the, to Reader, or is it because there's a new vulnerability that has a rating of extremely critical, and I need to update that now? Those are the sort of things that you should know before you start doing the patch creation and patch deployment, so that you have a holistic approach to this. Because I promise, even if today this isn't part of your job, it's coming. So regulations are now saying some really specific language around patching Microsoft and non-Microsoft applications. If anybody has PCI compliance regulations, Sarbanes-Oxley, NERC, for those in the energy sector, there is really, really specific language that within 30 days of a patch being released, it needs to be applied and updated to all your applications. So, maybe, hopefully, some of you are already trying to do this, and you're doing it with System Center. So System Center Config Man does have a native way to help you patch third-party applications. This is the System Center Updates Publisher, SCUP. And it was a great idea. Microsoft said, okay, we understand that non-Microsoft applications are going to be on our OS, and we need a way for our customers to be able to update those. So they made an area where other vendors could put their own catalogs in. The challenge is that there's only three who have done it so far: Dell, HP, Adobe. Adobe's only done Reader, Acrobat, and Flash. You can add extra ones. You could buy extra ones. But in either case, you don't have, with any of those solutions, the vulnerability intelligence and the vulnerability scanning. Because what they're telling you is the new patches that came out. But you don't know if that actually applies to you. Do you have that version? And also, am I getting this because there's a critical vulnerability on this, or am I getting this just because this is the new version that they want to push out? So you need to kind of understand those reasons as well, and that's not possible here. Not to mention, as we just saw on the other slide, there's over 2,000 products that you need to kind of keep track of. So to add that many catalogs would be an immense amount of work. So at Secunia, we have a solution, our Corporate Software Inspector, the CSI, that actually integrates with System Center, Config Man. And it allows you to actually utilize the Secunia vulnerability database on the back end. So we've been doing software vulnerability research since 2002. We have the largest vulnerability database on the market. And that intelligence is what we're able to use against System Center and then leverage that existing infrastructure that you already have in place. So we do this by first having our database on the back end. So we cover 20,000 unique applications. That's 2,500 unique vendors. And if for some reason we don't have it, instead you can submit it, and within 72 hours, we can add it to our database. Then we help you by running vulnerability scans. So actually what we're doing is a file signature scan. We look for EXL, EXE, DLL, and OCX files. And we cross-reference that against our vulnerability database. Now you can do that with Secunia agents, you can do that agentlessly, you can use the SCCM inventory if you're already collecting that from SCCM and run that against our vulnerability database. What you get back is a list of not just your inventory, of course, but everything that's patched, end of life, meaning the vendor is no longer supporting it, or insecure, and then we give you a rating on that. The next part is patch creation. So we actually have a wizard within our tool called the Secunia Package System, the SPS. It replaces the need for SCUP. So we've already pre-tested and downloaded these patches and provide them to you in a wizard. When available, we aid however we can in automating that package creation. And then the last is deployment. So this part's actually leveraging the existing infrastructure that you already have in place. So we publish these as CAB files to your WSUS server, sits on the back end of your SCCM, and they go out. So if you're using SCCM ConfigMan 07, 2012, or even WSUS standalone, we'd be able to support you. Okay, so here are some, give you guys an idea of what this looks like. So what we're looking at here is the CSI console. On the left, you'll see the menu. We have the dashboard, which is what we're looking at now, the capability to do the scanning, the results, the report, and the patching. So the dashboard is a way to kind of course, get an overview. I just wanted to point out one list that we have here. You can add and remove different elements, but the one that we see here, which is insecure software installation weighted score, and I'm not sure if you can read it, but the first one's Oracle Java, Adobe Reader, Mozilla Firefox, Acrobat, so on and so forth. What we do is we actually take from the scan results that we already have, knowing what applications are actually installed in your environment, we take how many instances are installed, multiply it by the criticality rating. So we give criticality ratings a value of 1 through 5, 5 being extremely critical, 1 being not critical, and then bam, you have your top 10 list, prioritization done. So that's one of the tools that can be really helpful. Then we have the Secunia package system. So what this is now you can actually see in our demo environment here, we've run scans on all these machines, and at the end you get this list of all the applications that are vulnerable. And again, this is not a list of everything that our research team has found or what's come up recently. This is pertaining precisely to your environment, right? Against the most recent vulnerability intelligence. So it's a really customized list, of course, for each of our customers. You'll see on the top here, we have this Adobe Flash Player 16, and that has a criticality rating of, well, you see it as red. Red means extremely critical. I also have some orange there, like the Adobe Air. That's highly critical. Just to give you an idea of what this means, when something's highly or extremely critical, that means that this can be exploited with no end user interaction. So what's like a scenario of that? Let's take Flash Player. Let's say some of you maybe read news at work. It's possible. You're looking at trusted news websites, and they have an advertisement that enables your Flash. You haven't clicked it. You haven't done anything. Unknown to you and probably the news site, behind that is actually malicious code. If you have the vulnerability, if you have the older version of this Adobe Flash, actually, which isn't even this old because this came out about 8 days ago, this vulnerability, then you're vulnerable. That's it. It's played, it's done, they're in. If you're patched, no problem. You watch the advertisement and you move on. So that's kind of what we're talking about. But when it's red, when it's extremely critical, it means that we already have a recorded case of this being used in the wild. So that version of the Adobe Flash 16 we know has actually, there's exploit has been put into an exploit kit, which is basically the malware as a service as I'm talking about earlier, and is out there in the wild successfully exploiting machines. And that was an out-of-cycle patch, you know. That was not, Adobe did not plan to release that at that time. Let's say that now you're saying, okay, I want to take care of this. How do we create this update? Here's the four steps that we're going to go through. You right-click, and the first is just the naming convention, right? So this is just actually, now I picked Mozilla Firefox, and here's just the naming convention that you would use for it. On the same page, I just scroll down a little bit further, you can see that there's a lot of one-click options that we've provided for you, so whenever we can, we include these so that you don't have to do any scripting yourself for some of these options. Like, we don't need desktop icons of everything that we update, you know, things like that. You can get those all customized with these one-click options. When you hit next, you're going to see the applicability criteria. So this is actually the paths where we've found this installed. We only have the default path here, but if you have machines that are downloading to non-default paths, those are going to show up. So all of those paths will show up here. You don't need to do anything. Finally is the applicability criteria. You can change this if you'd like. For example, you want to maybe make that a reboot is required after the package has been installed. You can click that to happen. If you need to make language settings so that this is applicable in certain languages, you can do that here. Then at the end, you just hit the publish. And when you go into your System Center, ConfigMan 2012 I have up here, you're going to go into the all software updates. I typed in Secunia, and what you see now is all the third-party software that was published to the WSUS, or the back end of the SCCM here. And this is it. So now these have just appeared like your Microsoft updates, and you deploy them just as you would any other Microsoft updates. So we really try to follow that process as much as possible. For those of you who do use System Center ConfigMan 2012, we do have an actual plugin. So once you've done just this initial setup, we have the Secunia plugin down there on the left. And from here, you can just right-click. I have the same list of products that I saw in my console, and it shows you what products are vulnerable, and you do the same steps as I just showed you before. But now you can do it from SCCM. So functionality-wise, it's the same, but from a convenience standpoint, it allows you to do all of this from within your SCCM console. So very quickly here, I just wanted to mention that we are a Microsoft Alliance partner. That's why we have this cooperation with Microsoft, collaborating and solution integration. And we are the first Vulnerability Security Alliance partner of the Microsoft Technology Center program. So if you've been to a Microsoft MTC, if maybe you go to user groups, user management groups there, you'd be able to find our CSI solution there. And we're a member of Microsoft System Center Alliance partner. Just as I had said before, Secunia is first and foremost an IT security research house. That's where we started. That's still the heart of the company. We have our research team who sits in Copenhagen, Denmark. And we have a database that covers in totality 50,000 unique applications, which is over 3,000 unique vendors. The CSI covers 20,000 unique applications, which is over 2,500 unique vendors. And we have our three products. So we have the free home use tool, the PSI at the top, which we have 30,000 people who download a month. Then we have our corporate software inspector, the tool we talked about today. And we have our vulnerability intelligence manager, which was our original tool that we still have today. It is not doing scanning or patch creation, but it is able to alert you on new vulnerabilities based on an asset list that you would fill out with a ticketing system. So you're welcome to visit us at Secunia.com, or you can pick between our two locations, so basically cold or colder. Copenhagen, Denmark is where our headquarters are, and we decided to open up an office in a colder location in North America, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I'm very happy to be here in Texas with all of you. Again, Megan McKeown, Director of North America. If you have any questions, you're welcome to email me. We're also a big supporter of local user groups throughout North America. So if you have a user group and you'd like some sponsorship, we'd be very happy to connect with you, and you can email me directly about that. So in conclusion, we don't need this gang to protect you against the crime that could happen to your corporate environment. If we follow some of the basic principles out there, do this on a regular basis, we can all kind of get through this, get through 2015 together. So I wanted to thank all of you. We're very happy to be here. We look forward to seeing you guys again next year. And don't forget to stay secure.